do public comment. Do we have any public in attendance today that would like to make a comment?
I'll ask Jeff, this is Rod Atterbury. I'll ask Jeff, but I don't see anybody on the phone that I don't recognize the name of.
There are a couple of phone numbers, Rod, and I don't recognize them, and I've tried to make them able to speak. Let's see, there are three now.
Jeff, I believe those are staff members.
Okay.
Well, I'll help you out a little. I'll indicate if you are a member of the public and you wish to speak during this meeting, please unmute your line and
raise your hand.
Or raise your hand at the bottom of the screen if you're joining the Zoom meeting. If you're on by phone call, unmute your line, state your name, and wait to be recognized.
Okay. So hearing no public comment, we will move on to...
Well, we have one that was trying to speak. So,
oh, we do?
Yep, the 925-447 number. Are they interested in speaking? Seeing none, you can move forward.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
Number three is a presentation. The board will receive a presentation by General Manager Matt Fusey on LARPD's accomplishments during the present COVID-19 crisis.
Was I muted?
No.
Sorry.
No.
Okay.
We hear you.
Okay. Told me to unmute.
Mine's been doing that too.
Okay. So I'll just buzz through the intro stuff because this is for the people who don't know me. Look, hair.
Is your lifeguard days?
Yes. And California State Park stuff. Retired when I took the LARPD job, but the reason I'm here today is to show you our response to the COVID-19. We have two taglines, making memories, changing lives, and one that I like to use in special circumstances, your quality of life special district. In normal times, we have a $23 million budget made up of these components. And our budget has been on an upward trend since 2009. These are the services we provide, and you're all very aware of these, this group, so I won't go through all of them. We have additional roles. We provide senior meals with Open Heart Kitchen, and during emergencies, we convert the Robert Livermore Community Center for Mass Care and Shelter for staging area for emergency management, and we also operate as a cooling center and a warming center. What's changed for us during COVID-19? Our world's been turned upside down. Our initial response, employees that weren't essential were sent home. All part-time employees were taken off the schedule, with few exceptions. Essential employees that remained were given appropriate personal protective equipment. Our board and our staff made the decision that we would pay all employees for the first two-week period, as that was the time that we were anticipated to be out. As time went on, we made the subsequent decision to pay employees for the second two-week period. Then unemployment kicked in, and that was a better option for both the district and employees. And we continue to pay only essential employees and those who can still work from home that have work to complete. LARPD became a part of the city EOC, coordinating a consistent response throughout shared boundary. We formed our own virtual incident management plan. We continued to take steps in line with the health orders. And we applied all social distancing protocols to programs that remained. We did, unfortunately, have to close all facilities that were ordered closed in the health order. Of course, we would do nothing else. This was a massive administrative lift, as you can imagine. Human resources were taxed. Just getting on top of the budget projections was a critical task for both our staff and for our board to consider. We're in the middle of FEMA tracking, and every event is a little bit different. There's been procurement associated with having to try to find things like toilet paper, cleaning supplies, masks, all those things that are required for a long stay, and inventory management. We wanted to make sure that things that we did have, we didn't run out of. And all the other things you can imagine that go with operating a district under a health order during COVID-19. For continuity of government, initially we suspended committee meetings during the initial period. We reduced our board meetings to one meeting per month so that we could have our emergency discussions. Our board declared an emergency to give the general manager extra authority. And we developed staff meetings via telephone and Zoom and included the board chair for input to decision-making process. We consulted with our legal counsel because policies were changing minute to minute, and we needed to be able to stay nimble and keep up with them and have solid response. Not only were policies changing, but laws were being affected, the Brown Act, the CARES Act. And eventually we were able to normalize a little bit and resume our meetings virtually. This is a comparison of what we provided before and what we're providing now during the crisis. Our senior services and trips were canceled. Our extended student services were closed. Our youth services were closed. Park maintenance and development was reduced to a minimum just so that we didn't lose our facilities. And our open space, now this is an interesting aspect of this pandemic, in that open space was encouraged to stay open because people needed to get out for mental health and health purposes. So our open space has been impacted, not from being closed, but from being open and from being hugely popular. Our recreation courses that took place in closed places were closed. In fact, all recreation courses were closed initially. One essential service that remained and remains today, although it being socially distanced, is the Open Heart Kitchen senior lunch. Aquatics were closed. Our events and meeting spaces, you can imagine all those brides that were planning to be married in May, all of those were canceled. And for you avid historic preservationists, that program is static. And if you are an avid preservationist, you know that's a joke, because historic preservation aims to be static, at least. Sports fields and tournaments were closed, and our Robert Livermore Community Center was closed. However, we had to be vigilant and ready for it to be opened for mutual aid. And the much, much more that we do, we're finding that it's no more right now. And as it relates to our budget, our $23 million annual budget will be 19 plus million next year. First decrease in over 10 years. Our $13 million property tax, we don't believe that there should be much change to that. And generally, these sorts of impacts to property taxes, there's a lag time. Now, we make about $11 million in earned income every year, and we're projecting next year to be around 6 million, roughly 50 to 75%. And our 16 million salary and benefits budget is going to be reduced to about 14 million. We've reduced our services and supplies to 5 million. And we've severely reduced our services. And the reserve that we had and that we had planned for has been taken up during this response. And on top of having to use our reserve, we've also had to give up to $350,000 in program refunds. You can guess what has happened to our jobs force. We flex in the summer to up to 400 jobs. That means your entry-level jobs, your lifeguards, your rec leaders, they're out of work this year because there's no recreation. Now, we know you're all interested in reopening. Everybody is. And I can report some good news, and I can report some of the things that we're working on. But if you'd like to see the overall, please visit our website. Specifically, if you're interested in summer camps or camps in general, go to the website below, the link below. Our child care for essential employees was one of the first things we were able to open. And that was in keeping with the need for essential employees to have a place for their children to go while they were working. Child care for all was just mentioned in the recent order, so it should be very soon for us to increase our numbers if we haven't done so already. Youth camps, we believe, are going to open in June or July under the new order, as will summer camps, although we're being a little bit more definite with summer camps. Sports camps under the new order, with certain limitations, will be able to open in June or July, as well as aquatics camps. And our senior programs are limited, but we are running some of them. I'm going to take you to our, now, what have we been doing in the meantime, other than planning and responding to the health orders in our facilities and in our playgrounds and on our trails and in open space? Well, we've been behind the scenes thinking what we could do to help the public that are at home and sheltered in place. We've created a stay and play virtual website with virtual programs in them for people to enjoy, such as art, music, and science. And there are things like virtual field trips. You can go tour the Oakland Zoo or go to Kenai Fjord in National Park in Alaska or Yellowstone. You can have story time with teacher Darlene. You can have fun in nature. This is one of my particular favorites, and I'm going to play it for you very quickly.
Matt?
Yes, sir.
For some reason, we're not able to see this.
Oh, okay. Maybe I need to, okay.
And Matt, it just, this is Rod Atterbury. It just went away recently. We had had it up
there. Okay.
No, just recently.
It's just when you went to the site. There you go. There you go.
Okay, there, I figured it out. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Start back over again because it's too good. Thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome.
Who's that?
We do not, this is Rod Atterbury again. We do not have any volume though.
It just paused. Well, this is the challenge, isn't it?
Hey, aren't you glad you're doing this?
I am.
Actually, this provides some entertainment to some of these meetings. So we're all learning, so nobody should throw rocks in your glass house.
No. The fact that you can even do this is amazes me.
We still don't have any sound.
Green what?
Backyard. So I've got my sidekick Gail here helping me.
Still no sound?
Oh, it's a little bit, it's very soft, but it's there now.
Hi, I'm Gail Thurston McKinney.
You're good.
You're here at LARPD. You can make some beautiful arrangements just with what you have in your own backyard, even if they're weeds. We're going to get started. We're going to go out and cut some greens. The flowers, and then we'll get arranging. Okay, so I've gone around and picked out some really beautiful greens. I'm going to start collecting some of the greens and deciding what goes together, what I like together. When I was pruning, I made sure that I cut the pieces a little bit longer. Oh, I could always shorten them, but I can't make them grow in my hands. I like that. This is the container I'm going to use for this. So I'm going to put some water in the container.
Matt, you stopped sharing your screen.
Yeah.
The stems,
We're seeing you, Matt.
Yeah, smile.
If the leaves are in the water, they're going to get the water really mucky looking.
Okay, hang on. This is good practice.
There we are. Beauty. Oh. Also, if you have a vessel that doesn't, you can't trust holding water without getting it on your camps.
Wow. That was a departure.
It's still you.
I know, I'm trying to get back to you guys. There we go. Okay, I just want to share one more thing. And it is this. Oh, no. Oh, shoot. Okay, I'm going to have to share that as soon as I can find it again. I had everything up and ready to go. Somehow I blew it. Guess what? I'll be practicing tonight. Okay, back to you.
Matt, you need to unshare your screen and then reshare. So you actually have to click off of it, unshare it, and then reshare it again.
I'm not seeing that. That's my problem.
Up at the top, you've got a, or down at the bottom, or wherever yours is, you've got a green lit up button. And when you share something, I don't know what colors yours would turn.
No, I'm not seeing the unshare. That's the problem.
Remove share, cancel share, in share.
That could be up at the top of your screen.
Yeah, sometimes it's at the top.
I know, it usually is at the top, but I'm not seeing that at all.
Go to your three dots and view video, something along that lines. But
that's the thing about this Zoom. Every time it's a little bit more difficult for me. Okay, well, I'm going to stop video and get out of this, and then I'll come back. Linda, can you help me at all with the...
I don't see your screen, so I'm... No, I would only suggest when I was sharing, I had two buttons up at the very top ribbon that I could tell I had the choice of stopping my video, share, or sharing.
I don't have that option now.
If you go down to the bottom ribbon, can you see the green share screen arrow?
Yep. And it's allowing me to share, but it's not allowing me to unshare.
You might need to go ahead and share again then, because it looks like you've already unshared. I can't get to it.
Okay.
So once you click the share button, it should give you a bunch of windows. I just did it from mine. It should give you a bunch of windows, and it should allow you to choose which one. You've got basic, you've got the screen, you've got an iPhone. Like if I wanted to share the agenda now. You all should see the agenda for the board meeting.
Yes.
And now when I go back up top, it says I'm screen sharing. You are screen sharing. Stop share. There's a little red button next to it. If I click the stop share, I should be back. This is what these meetings are for.
Yeah, I've got none of that, Rod.
No.
I wonder if it's because we're recording.
Are you the recorder?
No, Linda is.
No, that shouldn't matter because I was able to share then. Mm-hmm. So, Matt, can you send it to me?
Send what to you?
Do you have a presentation that you've got attached to an email that you can send to me?
I just had one more video to show.
Do you have that video in an email that you could send to me?
Sure. Okay, well, somebody get me out of this thing.
You have to be all prepared tomorrow at noon, right, for Rotary?
No kidding. It was going fine until I tried to share some video.
Just that last one, huh, Matt?
Yeah.
That's it, weird.
We do the same thing with our dogs. I say, hey, watch my dog do this trick. And then he won't do it when people are around.
Of course not.
It's like, I'm thankful you had 30
people. Going to the doctor. Hey, I've got a sore throat. And once you have a sore throat, that's what he... Hey, that was smart. That was going to be my next suggestion. He can't. He signed off, and he'll sign back in.
Oh, he's gone.
Yes, he signed off so he can sign back in, thinking that it'll be easier.
It always worries me when I sign off and that I can't get back in again.
Back in, yep.
Linda.
We'll have to see about
editing this, you know, this 5 minutes out of the recording.
Now, this is the new normal.
It's on the record.
I will tell you that this is happening across the country.
Okay. And I have actually a question. What does FEMA tracking mean?
Oh, that's a good question. FEMA is Federal Emergency Management Agency.
Yeah. And
they declare an event, and then they have... they have a funding source that gets delegated from Congress, and you track eligible expenses for reporting to FEMA and reimbursement.
Okay, and of course I know what FEMA is, but when you kind of zipped right past that in your presentation, the average person isn't necessarily going to know what that means.
Yeah, that's a good point when you get into those types of acronyms and stuff.
Talk alphabet soup all the time.
Yeah, we do.
Did you send that, Matt?
No, I got to find it, Rob.
Oh, okay.
Are you finished?
Finished.
Do any of the other directors or anyone else have any questions? Any members of the public or have any questions? Okay, seeing none, I'll move on to number four, consent items. Do we have a motion?
I'd like it pulled.
Okay. Which one do you want pulled?
Oh, no, sorry. I was looking at consent agenda resolutions, not the consent items number four. My apologies.
Okay, so approval of the minutes for our May 13th meeting and our general manager's monthly update. Do we have a motion?
I did. I'm moving approval of the consent agenda.
Do we have a second?
Second. Second.
We couldn't get unmuted in time.
So we have a motion to approve by Director Faltines, a second by Director First. Will the general manager please take the roll?
Chair Faltings?
Aye.
Chair First? I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Director First?
I'm back to being chair.
So is Mary Alice.
Director Pierpont?
Aye.
Director Wilson?
Aye.
Chair Palajak?
Aye.
Passes unanimously.
We all have run into the same thing Matt has. He's now frustrated that he can't get it up. It worked before, and he's...
Ooh, that sounds terrible.
Oh, yeah.
There's no hard feeling.
No, it is frustrating. Plus, the real true video I wanted to show you, which is the profession, it's very good. I can't find now.
You'll find it before it's over.
Matt, yeah. The one you wanted to share that Stacy had created?
Yes.
Hey, Stace, do you know, can you get a hold of that thing?
Yeah, I can do that. Right now, or just kind of as we're going through?
As we're going.
Okay. Okay.
So
another one.
Why don't you go ahead and move on, Chair, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, we'll move on to number five, consent agenda resolutions. And I think I heard that wants to be pulled by Director.
Yeah, I'd like to have it pulled, please.
Yeah, okay.
You want me to explain why?
That would be great.
Yes. Okay. The staff report and the resolution itself are inaccurate. Right now, the staff report and the resolution talk about the candidate putting down a deposit for estimated costs of printing. And the board made a decision approximately 3 to 3.5 years ago that each candidate would pay $500 and that the district would pick up all the rest of the money if there was an additional charges. So the resolution needs to be changed to reflect the will of the board as a action item from about 3 years ago.
Yes, I remember.
That's correct.
I read that and remembered it because it was after I had to pay something like $1,800.
Yes,
so Mary Alice took charge of that one. In remembering that clearly, of course, when I read the item, I didn't see where there was a problem with what it said. But obviously, if another director does, then we want to have it clarified.
In the resolution, it's the it's about 5 or 6 paragraphs down where it says, be it further resolved. And that's where the inaccuracy is.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, and I missed that.
So are you saying it should say, be it further resolved that the Board of Directors authorizes that candidates for the Office of Director shall pay to the district upon the filing of the candidacy papers a deposit of $500?
Toward the estimated cost, probably.
And then it reads correctly. It said some shall be credited by the district against the cost of the candidate's statement as determined by the Register of Voters.
I have a question about
And that. I apologize. That is 100% my fault. I read the resolution. I drafted the language for you for a new policy and never caught it. Good catch.
Should it say amount rather than deposit?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I want to make a comment on that. When you reread that, Linda,
yes. It
still, the intent was that no one would pay more than $500, that the district would pick up however much over the $500. David, are you remembering it that way?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
Yes, okay. Yes.
So is that wording... I don't know, I listened and it wasn't quite clear to me. Is that what the wording actually says?
Can it say an amount?
I can make a suggestion, Madam Chair?
Yes, please.
So my suggestion would be that you would take action noting that revision in the resolution. And I will make sure that it is correct. But I remember it. It is, you guys are both Mary Alice and Member Faultings and Member First are exactly correct that's what it was intended. So if we put it in as a $500 deposit and it shall be used by the district and the district will pick up any additional.
Well, I guess I'm having trouble with the word deposit.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. We'll figure out the right language rather than edit here.
All right.
Okay. And so, Linda, do I have a resolution number for this?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry, I don't have that with me.
Oh.
We start back at 1.
I know.
So, do I just
make a motion with, after you take public comment, somebody make a motion for the resolution next in numbered order.
Okay.
And then read the title as revised, as been discussed here.
Okay.
Thanks.
So, do we have any more comments from the directors?
Whoa.
Okay, I'm not seeing any. Do we have any comments from the public? I can't see everyone on this, so Jeff or Linda, you have to help me out.
The participants, there's only one number. Oh, now that number, one number is gone. We have nobody from the public attending.
No, Rod, hang on.
There is one.
It's an area code 3. There's an area code 302 number.
Sorry.
And I unmuted them. Can whoever that is owner of that number speak up?
It's 302-354.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not hearing any comments. So do we have a motion?
I'm unmuted. So I move to approve resolution next in numbered order as revised by the board in our recent discussion.
I'll second.
Do you need the Board of Supervisors permit consolidation with the statewide general election on November 3rd, 2020?
Okay. Will the general manager take roll call vote?
Sure. Director Pierpont?
Aye.
Director Wilson?
Aye.
Director Faltings?
Aye.
Director First?
Aye.
Chair Palajak?
Aye.
Passes unanimously.
Okay, well, we'll move on to number six, discussion and action items. 6.1 is discussion and consideration of amendments to ordinance number 8, district rules and regulations. Do we have a staff report?
Well, before we get into that, can I try one more time to show you this video?
Yes, please do.
Okay. Come on. You guys can see this.
Yes.
Yes.
Good.
Aren't you playing? There we go.
Show that one.
Very yep. Cute. I like the edited by me, blah, 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 blah at the end there.
I actually got the stop sharing sign afterwards. Okay, thank you. I just wanted to, I had to show that one.
Thank you. Okay, now we're back to 6.1. Do we have a staff report?
Yes, we do. Good afternoon, directors and Chair Palajak. This is Patricia Lord, Assistant General Manager. We are recommending that the Board of Directors introduce amended Ordinance Number 8, our district's rules and regulations. The proposed amendments concern hours of operation. The current hours of operation has raised concerns about safety, vandalism, and unwanted activities with park use after dark and inconsistent practices throughout the park system. Our current rule states, it shall be unlawful to enter or remain in or on any district facility, parkland, or trail after said facility, parkland, or trail is closed for public use without a permit. All district facilities, parklands, and trails shall be closed for public use during the hours of 10 p.m. of one day and 6 a.m. of the following day, except as may be otherwise posted. The proposed hours of operation, and amendment to Ordinance 8 states, all district facilities, parklands, and trails hours of operation shall be sunrise to 1/2 hour after sunset, except for lighted sports facilities that are permitted for use up until 10:30 p.m. The approval process for amending Ordinance Number 8 is outlined in the staff report. The proposed amendments were reviewed and recommended by the Facilities Committee on May 7th. A notice of public hearing was published in the Independent newspaper on May 28th. And the board will consider approving the proposed amendments and determine if there is any revision or alterations to the ordinance. Staff will then post a second notice of hearing that the amendments will be considered by the board at its next meeting on June 24th. If the board adopts amendments by resolution, then the amended ordinance becomes effective 30 days from the date on which the amendments were approved. This concludes the staff report, and I'm available to address any questions.
Okay, do any of the directors have any questions or comments? I don't hear any.
No, pretty clear.
Okay. Is there any public comment?
So I should have known this earlier, but the 302 number is the reporter from the Independent, Tony Kukulich, and he just emailed me. He could not unmute. So he's on the line still.
Okay. Can he hear us?
Yes.
He's unmuted now, though.
Okay.
This is Tony. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure why that wasn't working, but it is now.
Tony, did I butcher your name or did I say it right?
No, you got it perfectly.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't hear any public comment, so we'll close public comment. Do we have a motion?
So maybe we could get the our general counsel to clarify, since this is a first reading, is it discussion only?
So the motion is going to be to waive the introduction, waive the first reading, and bring it back on and identify the date that it's brought back on. That is the motion.
Can I say so moved without repeating all of that?
You can, as long as somebody will give me the date of the next meeting in which we will consider this.
June 24th, 2020.
There you go. That's the motion.
So seconded.
Okay, we have a first by Director Wilson, a second by Director Pierpont. Mr. General Manager, can you do a roll call vote?
Sure. Director Wilson?
Aye.
Director Pierpont?
Aye.
Director First?
Aye.
Director Faltings?
Aye.
Chair Palajak?
Aye.
Passes unanimous.
Okay, 6.2. Preliminary fiscal year 2020 to 2021 operating budget. Since we just had a whole workshop on this, I'm not sure how much of a presentation you're going to make, but let's hear it.
I will turn this over to your finance and HR manager.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Chair Palajak. I will again acknowledge what you just said, Jan, about having just gone through this in detail in the workshop. I'll just highlight things given that we're now sharing this with the public. All right, can you see my desktop now?
Yes.
Okay, great. So we'll quickly walk through the preliminary budget overview, key assumptions, cash flow projections, risks and opportunities, and conclusions and recommendations. I'll quickly outline what we talked about again in a prior meeting. This presentation shows total district financials for last year, audited results for fiscal 18-19, FY19-20, projections. And again, the key here is that this column, the mid-year column, is really a gauge. This for the public's purposes, this was our last set of projections in a business as usual environment. So this was generated in mid-March and is a really solid gauge against which to compare our projections given the COVID-19 pandemic and its impact on our operations. This column here is current forecast, again, actuals through April of this year and projections for May and June. And then this column here is our preliminary budget as it currently exists for FY 2021. And then these variances here are comparisons of these variance columns here, are comparisons of our projections against the mid-year budget. Again, that's the gauge of normalcy. And so what we're doing here is saying the current forecasted revenue of 19.7 million for this year is 3.6 million below that mid-year projection of 23.4 million. Next year, we're down 4.2 million given our current set of assumptions versus that same mid-year set of projections. The other thing that's real important for us to note here is that indeed, at present, we are eating into our reserves this year to the tune of 1,200,000. And next year, the current projections have us at $353,000 of reserves that are required to balance our budget. Real quickly, we are projecting salaries for people who have been furloughed and or had their hours reduced at a level that is approximately what they're normally scheduled to work, as they can use leave credits to complement their hours worked. We did furlough 32 part-time benefited staff in mid-April out of the 43 total population. And those that furlough is for 120 days. It's reflected in our projections here. We have what we call casual staff. These are non-benefited staff. Some are seasonal. Most are seasonal, I should say. And given what we are planning now, we are seeing a dramatic reduction in staff from about 40 FTEs prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, the onset of it, to about eight in our projections now. So we save 616,000 this year, 739 next year. We are not planning on a cost of living adjustment in July, saves us $280,000, and we will not see step increases in the next fiscal year, which saves us about $200,000. We will continue to do step increases for staff through June. There is no change, either up or down, assumed to the district's contribution to employee health benefits. As you recall, we made significant increases to those contributions over a year ago. And we just, especially in the current environment, aren't compelled to make a change to that contribution level. And the number of people impacted by this is relatively small in terms of them having to take on any increases in premiums that we're assuming for next year. We don't have any changes that need to be made to the salary schedule for the district for minimum wage, as the lowest rate in our schedule is $14.35. ACERA rates, this is our retirement plan that we participate in, the Alameda County Employee Retirement Plan. These rates are significantly increased this year over last year, and last year's rates were way above prior year. So we are absorbing a number in the neighborhood of $1.8 million in pension plan costs for fiscal 2021. Last year, we also implemented a 457 plan and a match for employees who were not in the pension. We are continuing that in our budget at present. There's a 2% contribution for what we call regular, these are full-time non-pension staff. And we also have a 4% match. So the contribution is whether or not the people participate or not. We contribute 2% to the plan for them of their salaries. And if they do participate, as well as part-time benefited staff, we will match up to 4% of their salaries. We've had pretty good participation in that plan, and it costs us about $100,000 a year. Workers' comp, these rates will change. The base rates are identified here. This is a busy schedule, but the bottom line is that these rates, these base rates by type of employee that's based on the whole Capri. We have our coverage through Capri, and we have various types of classifications of employees that are consistent between us and other Capri participants. Those drive the base rate. The mod factor here is based on our experience, and as Matt highlighted in our workshop, this placeholder mod factor of 110% is going to go down to, Matt, I think you said 86%, something in that neighborhood. So we're in good, we're going to be better than planned there, but the amount of money we're talking about is likely going to be offset by increases in insurance coverage rates as well. And in total, the workers' comp number is 430 grand a year. So the changes here will be positive, but they won't be huge in relative terms. CIP, capital improvement program projects. There are only three planned for next year. Sunset Park is nearly done, as Fred explained in our meeting. And the total spend for that project will be a little south of the $1.2 million budget. So we'll be better than planned is our current estimate for that budget, somewhere around the $1.150 million mark. Rodeo Stadium Improvement Project, that's now pushed out to May of next year. This will be funded by the general fund, as such, it is in addition to the shortfall that we've projected for operations, the $350,000 number I mentioned earlier. We can add to that the spend that will come from the general fund for the rodeo stadium improvements. So again, we reach into our reserves to fund the project. Mitchell Buildings, there are two buildings. Jill Kirk and I have been involved with the school district in working through this plan. We're spending about $1.5 million, but that's spread over quite a long period of time, relatively speaking. We'll be done with that project in spring of 2022. We will spend 620 grand in fiscal 2021 on these buildings, and that is another use of general funds.
Jeff, can I jump in on that one?
Please, Matt.
It comes to my, well, I would like to consider looking at the Mitchell building, since we're losing perfectly good buildings through no fault of our own, and it is a capacity issue, have a discussion with the board and subsequently potentially with the city about the use of AB 1600 funds.
Got it.
I have a question regarding the Mitchell building. It's been said that instead of $1.5 million, which is what I believe the board approved, it's potentially $1.55 million. At what point does it come back to facilities and the board if the costs go up?
Matt, if I could?
Yep.
Jill and I have a follow-up question with the district about that, Director First. We had not anticipated to go beyond $1.5 million. In fact, there's a $200,000 item that she and I have questions about. And so we would come back to Matt and then the committee if indeed it's proved to be required. But we do have a question about an item that just showed up earlier last week in a financial summary that the district gave us.
The procedural answer is every time there's a change that either is moving the project forward or there's a change, it comes back to the board.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. We talked briefly in our earlier meeting about our assumptions in recreation, and Matt's presentation earlier in this meeting is a really great resource when it comes to what we're doing in each of our groups. There's much more information in his presentation than I've reflected here. That being said, we have, again, the team has worked very hard to make, to develop their plans based on what they know today to be possible in terms of our offerings. And that's what our forecast represents, you know, very limited facility rental activity for obvious reasons until early next year, as Matt alluded to in his presentation. Limited program activity, although our guys are doing some great thinking, very creative thinking about what can be done. Often it may even be more efficient from an expense perspective, the things that they can offer near term, opening our facility, but not necessarily having to provide a lot of staff to support what we're calling camps and so on. The Robert Livermore Aquatic Center programming, again, is driven by similar considerations, the Alameda County Health Department guidelines. And again, our team are doing what they can to provide the facility, make the facility available for teams that are desperately interested in using it. Again, in the camp scenario. Mayness and Swim Center, our other aquatic center, is going to remain closed. As Fred Haldeman alluded to in our earlier meeting, we have about a little over $200,000 worth of repair work in order to get that that center back up to operational status. And so there is a real barrier to providing, especially given the limitations on offerings that we can provide. So at the moment, the assumption is there would not be activity at Mayness and for the foreseeable future. And again, this note about services, the team has done a great job of identifying ways to save some money in the near term. We certainly don't need janitorial services at the moment when our internal people can do the job. Community services, just a ton going on here, boiled down to 5 bullet points. The first one is critical. We're heavily dependent upon what's happening with the Livermore Valley School District. And again, Jill and Nancy, who manage those programs, are all over the information that's coming forward about what can be done and when. Their forecast, though, reflects what we know today. We already have some kids in our program at 3 sites, about 37, but we're ramping up to, I think in the earlier meeting, the number was 116 kids in the near future in June. So we'll have activity in ESS, and it'll reach 60% of normal levels by August, and then reach about 70% by January. And that's our working assumption. You know, as things loosen up, hopefully we'll be able to exceed that, but we're not able to plan confidently that we'll exceed that level at the moment. Preschool enrollment is resuming in earnest in August. Middle school is gonna be impacted, or has been impacted by COVID. COVID-19, and we won't reach, the expectations, we won't reach normal levels in this fiscal year for middle school activity. And then senior trips, for obvious reasons, aren't assumed to resume until January. Parks and facility maintenance. This is where our team, led by Fred Haldeman, has done a great job in identifying ways that we can save some money without severely impacting the quality of the parks and facilities that we maintain. The idea is to save some money now, but not so much so that we damage our facilities and our fields, so that when we're able to resume activity, we don't want to have any barriers to being able to quickly resume activity on the field. So this is carefully managed, and that's the plan at present. Contract work, we're using that to flex our spend down. What we had been using services for to date has been replaced by internal staff. So again, saving significant money in the process. And modest little comment about vehicles, we won't add new vehicles to the fleet. We don't need them. Property taxes, we'll see normally expected levels in December, because we are subject to values that were on the tax rolls as of January 2020. So we will see an increase in our December property taxes versus prior year. In April, there is some uncertainty. We are using prior year April as a gauge for this coming April. And then our parcel taxes, which amount to about $1.6 million a year, we will have an opportunity to go to the board in a couple of weeks and present our proposal to increase those at the maximum allowed by the legislation, which is 2%. We've in the marketing side of administration, we've pulled back on large scale events, the Oktoberfest, Children's Fair, Apple Fest, all fun events, well attended and appreciated. And we won't have those in the plan for fiscal 2021. as well. It's hard to produce a hard paper guide that costs a lot of money to produce when we're so uncertain about our offerings. So smartly, the marketing team have decided to create our guides in a digital form for August. And once we're able to safely and confidently resume normal production, that's the plan that we would do so. This is a busy schedule. It's been provided to everybody in hard copy form. But this is a version of the initial schedule I showed you at the district level, but this is at the department level. And it just, the data here supports some of the comments we made earlier. For example, services and supplies in the parks group, we're looking at a normal number of 3.5 million. And as Matt mentioned, you know, there's a lot of good scrubbing going on within our organization in general in response to COVID-19, but also just in general. And we've trimmed this number to 2.4 million for next year, way down, almost a million, well, a little over $1.1 million versus the run rate of 3.5 million. I gotta be careful what I'm drawing here. We've talked about the drop in salaries and benefits associated with our casual staff, and that's reflected throughout the district. Some groups use them more frequently than others. Clearly, when we look at the recreation numbers, we don't have a lot of lifeguards and aquatics in the plan. Compared to this year's business as usual run rate. So there's a lot of detail here. We can get into it as anyone sees fit, but the bottom line is these expenses have been scrubbed as best we can given the reduced revenue opportunities that we have in our programs.
Hey, Jeff, can you skip these schedules and just go to the cash flow forecast and some of the pages that talk about the you know, what the risks are and things like that. Cause we've been, those are in the agenda packet if people need to see them.
Okay, Jan, sure thing. So we do have a cash flow forecast that's based upon the P&L numbers, the operating income and expense numbers that we just shared with you. This is a focus on the general fund, excluding what we call AB 1600 funds from developer fees for projects. So at the end of May this year, 2020, thank you, Jan, we were sitting at $9.2 million in cash. Our general fund balance will reach its nadir in November of this year when it reaches about $2 million if all of our projections are spot on. So we are seeing a dramatic usage of our cash. Normally we do see that pattern, but it's the level at which we land in November is lower than we would normally have expected, without a doubt. As mentioned earlier, we're eating into our reserves this year and next. That's a busy cash flow schedule. In summary, this is an excerpt of our cash flow model. And again, the main points are that we are drawing, we're drawing down on our cash balance. We had our big property tax hit in April. We have another one in December. So between then and now, our cash balances trend down, especially when we're not able to offer programs in the summer. So we reached $2 million given our modest general fund project activity, but also the trend in operating expenses and revenues that we've already outlined for you. When we talk about risks, again, the resumption of serious COVID-19 driven shutdowns is a reality that we have to recognize as a risk. We've already identified instances in which behavior of our community member has changed. That's reflected, for example, in the drop in expectations for the middle school program, where parents are not planning to send their kids back to our program for various reasons, and I won't elaborate any further there. We're concerned again about can we reach the assumed student levels in ESS? Can we offer recreation programs to the extent that are in our plans? There's just such uncertainty that we have to identify our projections as risky given the level of uncertainty. And again, once we are able to ramp up programs, can we bring staff back? can we retain staff, and will they come back when we ask them to, when the opportunities arise? Conclusions, we're asking the board today to approve this preliminary budget, but again, given the uncertainty that exists today, we're asking that the board entertain the prospect of having, we're gonna have a final budget in later this month, but even then, you know, given the rate of change of information and restrictions that are being either applied or lifted, there is such uncertainty that we wanna entertain a quarterly budget, a quarterly update to our financials that would then be the new plan of record. So at the end of quarter one, we wanna come back to the board with a proposed plan of record that replaces the approved budget for all intents and purposes. And that's what we would manage to, and then every quarter update from there. Again, to reiterate, based on our current information, you know, we are eating into the reserves this year to the tune of $1.2 million, next year between $350,000 and $400,000. So that's just pure operations. When we throw on the need to use general funds, and I appreciate your comment, Matt, about the Mitchell buildings, that's a great idea. And hopefully we can see something happen there where we could use developer fees rather than general fund. That'd be a terrific help. Because again, we're operating in the hole at the moment. So that's it for our presentation. I raced through it. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them, or staff certainly is available to answer them as well.
So we just finished about an hour and a half workshop on this. But if any of the directors have any additional comments or questions, you'd like to make those now.
Jan?
Yes.
I just wanted to thank the staff for a lot of hard work and a very good presentation.
I agree.
I didn't get myself unmuted quite as fast as you did, Director First, but absolutely. Thanks for a very complete and excellent job to staff.
If we have no more comments or questions from the directors, do we have any public comment?
Not from my end, no.
Okay. So what I'm realizing here right now is that 6.2 and 6.3 really should have gone together, because we discussed both our preliminary operating budget and the preliminary capital improvement plan. So I would entertain a motion for both resolutions, and the resolution number for 6.2 is 2687, and for 6.3 is 2688.
Madam Chair, I'm okay with you skipping a staff report on 6.3. Can I just ask whether any of the directors have any comments, or any members of the public have any comment on 6.3?
Also, I think 2687 should go back to the elections resolution.
No, that's 2686.
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Item 5.1 was in fact item number 2687.
Oh, okay. I read your thing wrong.
Yeah, I looked it up. We had 2686 on March 25th.
That's correct.
Okay, so this one, so 6.2 is 2688 and 6.3 is 2689.
Yes. Correct.
And Madam Chair, other than that comment, I'm not seeing anything else from the public, nor am I seeing anything else from members of the board.
Okay, so do we have a motion on both resolutions?
I apologize. Member First looks like he's trying to chime in.
No, I just got ready to vote. I'm good.
Excellent.
Well, I will be, as a member of the Finance Committee, I'll be happy to move here. I will move that we approve resolutions numbers 2688 and 2689, approving the district's preliminary fiscal year 2021 operating budget and the district's preliminary fiscal year 2023 capital improvement plan budget.
Second.
So we have a first by Director Pierpont, a second by Director First. Mr. General Manager, can you do a roll call vote, please?
Sure. Director First?
Aye.
Director Pierpont?
Aye.
Director Wilson?
Aye.
Director Faltings? Director Faltings?
She's muted. Oh, no, there she is. She's muted.
Yeah, I'm she's muted now.
Hang in there, Mary Alice.
Linda, can you try? I can't unmute.
I'm trying. I'm clicking unmute, and for some reason it's...
I think you and I are muting and unmuting simultaneously. I'll stop. Please do your...
Yeah, you have to wait a second. Once you click it, you do have to wait.
Let me do it.
Yes.
I believe she may be muting herself.
Mary Alice, are you there?
Maybe she could raise her hand as a vote.
If she knows how to raise her hand, she could do that.
I was going to say, if she's struggling to find the unmute, the raising hand, she might not find.
Yeah, and Mary Alice, if you actually hover over your face or where it says Mary Alice, you'll get three dots. Those three dots give you complete control. Why don't we take that as an abstain at this point in time, and I will call her and make sure she's got it figured out.
Okay. Chair Palajak.
Aye.
So we have four ayes and one abstention.
Okay, so we will move on to 6.4, revision to board meeting schedule for remainder of 2020. And I actually asked for this to be put on the agenda because we're having to call all of our meetings special meetings because we've changed the time. And so since it looks like for the remainder of the year, we may be doing Zoom meetings, I wanted to get some input from the board, see if we want to officially change the time and that we're doing them through Zoom instead of RLCC. And at the same time, I wanted to open up discussion about the public meetings in the parks, since it doesn't look like that's going to be feasible at this point. So those are the items. Does staff have anything more to add to that?
I do. As general manager, it's been, while an inconvenience to be doing this, distance meetings, there has been a true convenience of being able to have staff during working hours on these meetings and available to work directly with the board. I do think we benefit from especially the virtual meetings being during the daytime when it's easier for people to, and I'm saying that as a general statement, it might not be easier for everybody, but I think it's easier for my staff. I know it's easier for me to carve out time for the board meetings and have staff present. So I appreciate you taking time to have staff speak, and I would encourage any other staff to feel that they would like to give input to the board to do so now.
This is Patricia Lord, Assistant General Manager, and I would like to comment on the advantages of conducting the board meetings during normal business hours. It could allow opportunities for greater staff participation, clarification on particular items. It could also increase civic engagement with community members that may not be comfortable going to a meeting at night, particularly some older adults may not want to drive at night. They may be more likely to come to a daytime meeting, as well as some of our staff that may not normally come to the board meetings, just to be able to observe. And so for greater community and civic engagement, I think there's some real advantages of moving to daytime.
Okay.
Okay, I see Mary Alice is back.
Yes, I am. Everybody thank my daughter for fixing it, please.
Mary Alice is back. I think somebody from staff muted her, and she said, I tried to unmute, and it just went haywire. So not a problem. And Mary Alice, we did take action on 6.2 and 6.3, which was the financial information that you
right.
received.
Right, I heard you. I could hear you. I just...
That's what I thought. I marked you as an abstain, yeah, but if you'd like to change your vote now on 6.2, 6.3, you could do so.
Yes, I would like to vote yes.
Then...
Linda, record that.
Yes.
And we're now, Mary Alice, we're now on 6.4, and we're just discussing the schedule.
So do we have any comments from the directors or any questions?
I'd like to see
Chair, if I could pull in Mary Alice. Mary Alice, I mean, you read the staff report. Member Palajak is raising the issue in terms of we're always having a special meeting as a result of having a special meeting. Should we change our bylaws to reflect the time and difference in meetings?
Okay, is there something, and I didn't see anything about that in the packet, did I?
There is a schedule, Mary Alice, that has on it proposed revisions 6.4, and it's showing.
I don't see anything about bylaw changes, though.
No, it's not a bylaw change. It's our board meeting schedule.
Oh, okay. I see that. Yes.
Yeah. So I
said bylaws because that's where it's identified as to what our schedule is. And if you're complying with your bylaws, it's listed as a regular meeting. If you're moving the time, date, or location, it becomes a special meeting.
Oh, I see. So you want to
modify your schedule, which would then need to be put into the bylaws.
That's fine.
And Mary Alice, the other thing that I raised is that we currently, in our current schedule, we have three public meetings in the park.
Yes.
July, August, and September, and right now it doesn't appear that that's going to be feasible. Yeah. So we can keep them for until we know for sure, or we can cancel one or two or three or none.
Maybe while she considers that, some of the rest of us can weigh in and maybe she'll react.
Go ahead. Is there a motion to do that or?
Not yet, because
not yet. It's a discussion right now.
Okay.
So did you have something, Director Wilson?
Yes, I did. Thank you for calling on me. For the Zoom meetings, I think it works for us to be at 2 o'clock as we have, except for today being 3:30 because of the budget workshop, but during the daytime when we're having the Zoom meetings, I want to be careful that we don't necessarily continue that practice when we someday are going to be having live meetings. This is just for the Zoom meetings. I know Mary Alice and I have had discussions on this in the past, so I want to be sure that we're just talking about the online Zoom meetings so that we don't have to call them special meetings. As far as in the parks, I'm hoping we can have those. I would love it if we could. I would hesitate to take them off our meeting schedule at this point, because I think that they are possible for us to socially distance. And if we have chairs, you know, staff set out a few chairs at 6 feet intervals, whatever, that we wouldn't serve food, no water, no cookies, but that at least we could keep it on the agenda and hopefully we can do that. That's ends my thoughts.
Okay.
I agree with Director Wilson. I think we should have the Zoom meetings at 2, and then we should revisit the timing when we go back to in-person meetings or RLCC, and then we should keep the three meetings in the park the way they are, and we can always modify them or cancel them as need be, depending on the health orders.
Okay. Director Pierpont?
Yeah, I agree about the meetings in the park. I'd like to keep hope alive. I mean, the third one is in September. I mean, I'd really like to be in a position where we can engage the public, even if we have to cancel the first. I think those are very fruitful. We always learn things that seem obvious that we should know, but we don't always. As far as the timing, I mean, I'll be honest. I've said this many times before, and I'll keep it on the record. I'm in favor of the earlier meetings, you know, for Zoom and for, you know, regular business. So I'm certainly in favor of what you're proposing, and I would be in favor of more than that, because the time we do it is about the worst time possible, I think, for me. So.
Okay. Thank you. Director Faltings.
I would too would like to hold on to the meetings in the park at their traditional time. As long as we stay on Wednesdays for our regular meetings, and I'm okay with adjusting the time while this crisis is going on, and certainly that's something you know that we can come back to at a much later date. So, yes, let's keep the meetings in the park.
Okay. What I'm hearing is that all the directors seem to be in agreement to continue to hold our normal scheduled board meetings at 2 o'clock via Zoom for as long as the pandemic continues, and that for at least right now, we keep our three public meetings in the schedule and cancel them only if we need to one by one. So if I'm correct, then we need a motion to make those changes.
Well, I would move to approve what you just said, making the 2 o'clock and keeping the three meetings in the park as scheduled.
I second.
So third.
I have a
motion by Director First, a second by Director Wilson. Mr. General Manager, can you do a roll call vote?
Sure. Director Wilson?
Aye.
Director First?
Aye.
Director Pierpont?
Aye.
Director Faltings?
Aye.
Chair Palajack?
Aye. So we will move on to 6.5. Tri-Valley Community Television recording of board meetings. Do we have a staff report?
Yes, we do. Good afternoon, Board of Directors and Chair Palajack. This is Patricia Lord, Assistant General Manager. With the current district response to the COVID-19 pandemic and the order of the county health officer to shelter in place, our offices have been closed to the public and the board meetings have been conducted via Zoom since March 25th. In August 2019, the district increased the level of service provided by Tri-Valley Community Television to include the recording, delayed television broadcasts, streaming, video on demand, web hosting, and chapterizing of the provided meeting agenda and minutes. In our communication with TV 30, the lack of a physical meeting place is not a barrier to the recording, broadcasting, and chapterizing meetings that they have been doing. And the method continues to provide transparency and meets the modified Brown Act. So we're requesting that the board review the services provided to LARPD by Tri-Valley Community Television and provide direction to staff on the audio video recording of Board of Director meetings. For your reference, there are copies of our current Memorandum of Understanding and also previous staff report on the topic of audio video recording. This concludes the staff report, and we're happy to address any questions you may have.
So let me just understand, ever since we started doing the meetings via Zoom, TV 30, we have not been using TV 30's services, is that correct?
That is correct. We've been doing them through our own means.
So we've been using Zoom and we've been recording them and then we've been posting them on our website. So we're still meeting the requirements, the modified requirements of the Brown Act, correct?
That is correct.
And TV 30, what services do they want to provide for us right now? Under the circumstances that we're in right now with the Zoom meetings?
So they have examples of a more robust presence on the website. There are some samples from other city council meetings, Zone 7 and other agencies. So there are enhanced ways of having the Zoom meetings conducted and they do provide those services. They also have, in our communication with them, they've advised us that the virtual meetings do not have to broadcast live. They could be recorded in the TV 30 control room and played back as usual. So they do provide the services in terms of hosting the meetings via Zoom.
And their costs have been running about $920 per meeting, is that correct?
That is correct.
And in the budget that we had, our preliminary budget that we had for next year, are we assuming that we're using TV 30's services?
No, we're not.
Okay, so it would be an additional $24,000?
Roughly, yes.
Okay. Okay, so do any of the other directors have any questions?
Jen, are we being asked to discuss the four different options?
Well, I think that we're being asked to discuss if we want to continue to use TV 30, and if we do, what services, I guess. It's kind of, they're looking to us to figure out whether we're going to continue with their services right now.
Well, it seems to me if their major service is the video, and we're not doing video, then we don't really need their service. And if we can post the audio, i.e. option two, then we should be doing that and not and discontinue use of the TV 30.
Yeah, we're able to, right now we post the whole meeting, the video audio to our website, and it's readily available. In fact, that's what the independent news reporter has used when he's been unable to attend our meetings.
I agree.
Director Wilson, did you have a comment?
Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't ask to speak. I just started speaking. Other than the adorable dog, I agree absolutely with Director First. I don't see any benefit to us, especially when we're trying to be lean and maybe not mean, but kind. But that's money that would very well, I think, better be spent elsewhere.
Director Pierpont, do you have any questions, comments?
Not really. I mean, I'm always going to vote for what gets the best transparency and the best way to engage the public and that kind of thing. And we're in difficult times right now that it's not so easy for me to determine that right now.
Director Faltings?
Oh, well, you know, I was a big proponent of this being on TV, and I hate to give it up, but $24,000 is $24,000. And if there is no TV and we're able to backfill with our own system that doesn't cost us any money, then I would say let it go.
Okay.
Can't we revisit this when we go back to the meetings in person at RLCC? We can certainly revisit our contract with TV 30.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I mean, let me ask a clarification question then. If we still have the contract with them, but we're not paying them because we're not having the meetings in person, we're not using them, what's the need to change the status quo then?
I think, and staff needs to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think TV 30 has asked us.
Oh, I see.
It may be that if we decide that we're not going to be using their services for a period of time, there's a difference in the, I don't know.
I was just wondering if there is.
Madam Chair, I think I might be able to answer that if you'd like.
Okay, that would be great.
Fire away.
Thank you. So I reviewed the contract, and the contract actually has a provision in it that you are obligated to provide them notice in advance of the meeting. Within a certain period of time, if you fail to provide them advance notice within the meeting, you are charged the full amount. So I can understand from a business perspective why they want to understand where their obligations are. And I think what we ought to do is suspend the contract, and we can draft something if need be, but they're going to take you back at any given time. Whether the rates and all that are the same, I don't know. But they're going to take you back at any given time. The way I read the contract is they're trying to make some business decisions, as all businesses are during this time. How many people are we losing? What's our income going to be like? What's our revenue? What's our expenses? So I think it's a legitimate question for them to ask, number one. And number two, they're not the only company that can provide us access for video for TV. Even now, this recording here itself could be submitted to the TV station and be posted. So I do think there are plenty of options, but Member Pierpont, that'd be my guess, is they're trying to clarify their contract and get notice much more in advance rather than on an individual basis.
So, I have a comment if I could, Director Palajak.
Please.
And Tricia, forgive me, I know this is your staff report, but there are options for us to consider. And to your point, we're asking reasonable questions of them and they can't answer them. Like, they cannot tell us what our viewership is. We don't know. And this is true for other people who use TV 30. And we have alternative ways to broadcast that we could explore. Like, there's YouTube, and the marketing team has created a YouTube channel, and we can live stream to it even. So there are alternatives to going out to TV 30 and getting some unknown viewership and going through avenues where we can track viewership and really have an understanding of who is interested in seeing and hearing our meetings. So there are technical alternatives to TV.
Well, maybe it sounds like the with the economic and financial situation the way it is, and the reality is of how we're meeting and how we're communicating, that they may be stepping away is an appropriate thing right now. I'm probably the hardest one, Mary Alice or me, to convince of doing this, but I do see the reasoning right now, as opposed to if we'd only had one or some of these circumstances, but we have all these things all at once, alternate platforms, inability to access the data that we were hoping to get, financial considerations, everything else. There's all those things kind of add up to us. You know, you can certainly add them up to make a certain conclusion.
Bill, you and I are going to have to jump into the 21st century.
Well, and believe me, I live stream on YouTube and Facebook for my business. I'm very comfortable with it all. And I totally understand that platform. And I don't really feel like what we've been doing was just sort of perpetuating the past. I think that it was it made sense for kind of who our community is, because we've got a mixture. But you know, maybe when you add on top of all that pile, the financial and other, you know, exigent circumstances, we got to adapt.
Well, that's why I'm saying if it was $2,400, you know. But it's 24,000, and that's
right. That's pay for, you know, some people. I mean, that's not trivial.
So I think we have if General Counsel, and maybe you can help me here, we have a decision. We can keep the contract as is. We can eliminate it, or we can suspend it. Is that correct?
That would be correct.
So do we have a motion, or do we have
we just direct
direction? Recommend, do we have
it, can I ask staff, and maybe Patricia is the best. So, staff, I think your recommendation is to notify the provider, the vendor, and cancel at this point, but indicate that as COVID may end or change, or a meeting schedule may change, we may be back to you for services.
I think you framed that well, Rod. Thank you.
I would like to weigh in that consideration of TV30's ability to make decisions as well. And I don't think we should be wishy-washy. I think we should be definitive so we can give them a path forward. And I agree with what our general counsel just said. You know, let's be definitive, but also tell them that we're not unwilling at a future date to reconsider.
Okay, do we have
public comment?
Public comment?
I don't see any.
So do we have consensus on the board that we would like to cancel TV30's contract with, and tell them that we would like to consider their services in the future when we're out of COVID-19?
In the form of a motion.
In the form of a motion. It doesn't say that on here, but okay.
I'm just adding it to your words. You did an excellent job. So I would say inform the motion, and if somebody wants to make that motion, so moved would be the correct response.
It was listed as a discussion direction item, not a motion.
Yes.
I apologize. I need to get back to my agenda. I am so sorry.
I think we have consensus.
Keeping all this open and track at the same time is challenging on both ends.
Yeah, it says review and discuss.
Does staff
then I'll ask it. Then I'll ask it. It says discussion and direction, so I will ask it in a different way. What Matt and I and Chair Palajak just said with respect to indicating to the vendor that we would be canceling our contract with the option to renew or enter into a new contract at some later date. Is anybody disagree with that direction that staff has been given?
No.
No.
Anybody disagree?
No.
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 Hearing none, you've got your clear direction, staff.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, General Counsel. Okay, moving on to 6.6, board letter in support of HR 7073. Do we have a staff report?
I'll just say that this came in through CSDA as a support for legislation, came straight to the board. We don't have a staff report in support or against. This is simply for the board to consider if they do want to sign a letter of support for this HR 7073.
Yeah, so what it's doing is saying that, or asking, including special districts in the Essential Service Act so that we can participate in some of the money that is given if we get any.
I did read the language in the act, and it does set aside 5% for special districts, but it doesn't set aside a new pot. It actually requires that the states take it out of the current pot that has been set aside for this event. And the reason I say that is because it doesn't appear to be an easy, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, knowing how states work, states likely not going to be real happy about it, but you never know with legislation.
So do we have any questions, comments by the directors.
Yeah, I have a couple comments. I'm in support of us signing this to try to get some of the money and focus them on the fact that special districts do exist, but I have three requested changes to the letter as written. Right now, we're starting out with the Honorable Eric Swallow. He's from the House of Representatives. Then it's Kamala Harris, and then it's Dianne Feinstein. I think that it needs to be in a different order. Dianne Feinstein and Kamala Harris are senators with more power, and Dianne Feinstein is the senior senator. I would request that we would have her name and address first, Kamala Harris second, and Eric Swalwell third. It might be minor, but if people are touchy and they see their name third instead of first, you're not starting off on the right foot. Second of all, in the second paragraph, where it says, as a provider of park and recreation services with a service population, et cetera, et cetera. We do a lot more than park recreation services. We do ESS, which they're probably not aware of. So maybe a longer sentence that tells them what we actually do. The fact that we provide for 1,500 children in a before school and after school program, they're probably not aware of. And it wouldn't hurt to expand that to a sentence or two. And then on the second page, under permitting special districts, there's twice where we say the feds. I think that's an abbreviation that can also be seen as a negative. And how about if we say the federal government or something a little bit more formal in a formal letter? And the feds are listed twice in that paragraph.
Who wrote this? Somebody from CSDA?
That's my understanding, yes.
Well, in one of the paragraphs about feds, it is referring to the Federal Reserve, I think, isn't it? Which oftentimes is talked about as the feds, as opposed to, because it's F-E-D apostrophe S, as opposed to, you know, people do talk about interest rates and things of the Fed.
Yeah, then shouldn't all the letters be capitalized?
I don't think so, because it's not an abbreviation, it's not an acronym.
Oh, okay.
Now, that said, colloquialisms and informal stuff, yes, I'm not in favor of at all in letters like this. And in fact, I totally agree with Director First about order being Dianne Feinstein, Kamala Harris, Eric Swalwell. Yeah. That should also be reflected in the salutation, dear Senator Feinstein, Senator Harris, and Congressman Swalwell. Both those orders should be changed to respect the seniority and that kind of thing. I totally agree with that.
So in the paragraph that you mentioned, Director First, if you're going to replace Fed, it's for the Federal Reserve Board.
I think the more formal language in a formal letter is better.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree too.
I agree. And I also think that it would be to our possible benefit, but it certainly isn't going to hurt us to send it. So I agree with David about that. We don't have really good chances if we're expecting to take a piece of that pie that lots of other people want, or agencies or whatever.
Yeah.
But we need to at least make this, excuse me, this statement.
Director Faulkner, did you have something to add?
No, I agree with David. And it's also always very wise to check CSDA stuff, because sometimes, as was pointed out here, they sort of lack the maturity to do a correct business letter. But I agree with David.
I think we can make those changes and make the letter available for the chair and get it sent off this week.
So it would be resolution 2690. Do we have any comment from the public?
This is a resolution. Do we have to do that?
I don't know. I'm just making sure.
Yeah, it's listed on our agenda as a resolution.
Okay. We have a motion.
I'd move to approve the letter as amended.
I'll second.
So first by Director First, the second by Director Faltines.
Yes.
We have a roll call vote.
Director Wilson.
Aye.
Director Pierpont.
Aye.
Director Faltings.
Aye.
Director First.
Aye.
Chair Palajak.
Aye.
Passes unanimously.
Okay, moving on to item 7, informational items. Looks like we don't have any. We're going to move to number 8, committee reports, and I'll just go director by director. So, Director Faltings, do you have any committee reports?
I don't think so. Do I?
Did you have a finance committee meeting?
Oh, Phil, did we?
Sorry. Yep, we did. Yes.
We did?
Yes.
Well, we had minutes, though. Didn't we?
Yeah, I think you have minutes for them.
Yeah, okay. So read your minutes.
Or
if Phil, you have anything you want to say, feel free.
No, we basically talked about everything in the content in with today's workshop and meeting. Right. Everything that is on the list is was discussed at that meeting. In fact, several of our comments were referenced in our meetings today from that meeting. So I think we're fully good.
Good.
Okay. Director First, do you have any reports?
Yeah, I have 4 reports. I didn't get much sleep this past month going to all these meetings.
And we appreciate it.
We had a facilities committee meeting on Thursday, June 4. A lot of what was discussed was already discussed today at this meeting, especially regarding the Manison Pool and the Sunset Park Playground project. The one thing that hasn't come up is a tree failure at Robert Livermore Community Center. A whole tree from the trunk, from the roots, fell over and injured a citizen. Oh, fortunately, the woman seems to be okay, and staff is now reviewing our tree pruning and tree removal process to make sure, or try to make sure, this doesn't happen again.
Where did it happen in the park?
Pardon?
Where was it within the park that it happened?
If Fred is on, can he give a more specific place?
Yes, it happened in Robert Livermore Park, directly adjacent to the sand volleyball pit.
Ah, okay, thanks.
Well, there was a flowering pear, if I'm not mistaken.
Hmm. Correct.
I also attended the program committee on May 21. Basically, we had a very good presentation on marketing and special events, especially in response to the public health orders. The staff has been working very, very hard and very creatively to make our presence known, to help out people who were staying at home with various YouTube videos, some of which we saw today. We also got some updates on aquatics, youth, and adult sports, a lot of also what was discussed already in this board meeting. And we got an update on ESS and the Community Outreach Senior Services. Pretty much what you've heard, but again, staff showing themselves to be very, very creative. I also attended the Chamber of Commerce Business Alliance on June 3rd. State Senator Glazer was there, and he presented on his view of what's happening with the COVID-19 pandemic. Nothing really new. He did give a bit of information here and there, but basically reaffirmed what we already know. And then I sat in for Director Faltings on May 19 for the LERPD Foundation. And trying to find my notes here. They're working on setting up PayPal. And they also received an overview of how LERPD itself is funded. And they're working on marketing. And that's it. That's my 4 reports.
Okay.
Bravo.
Director Pierpont.
Sorry, I was on mute. No, I think I am... Everything I have is either not meeting or has gotten canceled, or we talked really briefly about finance. So I do not have anything.
No, that's not true. You went to the intergovernmental East Bay and LARPD meeting.
I did, but that wasn't even marked. That wasn't marked on here with the date.
I know, but it was May 12th.
Well, if it's not marked, you don't get paid.
I don't even know whether that's half the time Linda puts it together. I have no idea. It's never been the top of my wish list. Boy, Jan, I think you're gonna have to cover me on that one. I don't even have my notes here.
Yeah, so that one basically East Bay Parks talked about how they had closed a lot of their parks, and now for COVID-19 in a lot of their facilities, and now they're going through the process of trying to start to reopen some, and the difficulties they had with keeping them closed. And we kind of traded notes about LARPD because we've kept everything open during the same period of time. So, and both of us had comments about how well-loved our parks, open spaces are right now with huge crowds. So that was pretty much most of the discussion that we had for that meeting.
They've got some very slick commercials on public TV.
They do.
Yes. Yeah. They jumped right on it. They had that first one right away, and they put a couple of others out that are really well done.
Yeah. Am I on mute?
No, you're not.
You guys hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I hate to say this, but I actually reported on this meeting at the May 13th special board meeting because the InterGov meeting was on May 12th.
Oh, the day before. You're right.
Yep, I actually reported. I just looked at the minutes that are included in our packet.
That's correct. Thank you, Phil.
Well, we reported on it twice then.
There you go. Okay.
So much, yes.
Why did you want to be derelict?
You only get paid once, so.
Yeah,
I know. I didn't want to be derelict, though.
Director Wilson, do you have some meetings?
I had been to a personnel committee meeting, which I've already reported on. That was before our last board meeting, and I was at the program committee meeting that Director First described. Other than that, I went to the LCAC meeting. It was like just a day or two after the whole George Floyd issues, and so not on the agenda, but they worked on an LCAC statement supporting equity for all races, which took most of the time for most of the meeting. And then President-elect Beth Trutner led a discussion on planning a new website. And most arts groups are closed down, of course, but there were a few interesting online activities. Needless to say, I was telling them about some of ours. So that pretty much was it.
Thank you. Okay, so for me, it's not showing up on here, but June 19th, there was a Livermore Downtown Incorporated meeting. It's the first meeting they've had since the shelter in place order. And their main discussion was their budget. And then they had a pretty big discussion. Bob Warner is the liaison for the city that's on that board. And so they had a pretty big discussion about what is happening or being planned as far as when the restaurants are allowed to do dining outside and kind of how that's going to be handled and what might be happening with street closures and things like that. And then they went into closed session to discuss some, I think, budget and personnel matters. So I was excluded from the remainder of the meeting. But it was pretty exciting what they're gonna be trying to offer as soon as we're allowed to. So, and the other thing, I went to the 2-day CARPD virtual event. I think Director Wilson was there as well.
Yes, I was.
That was the two morning sessions. And I found that for the most part, LARPD has been a little bit ahead of the curve from the other special districts. And in our planning, research, and budgeting practices. So that was kind of a nice affirmation of what staff has been able to do under very difficult circumstances. Did you want to add anything about that, Director Wilson?
No, I think we're fine. I have one comment when you're all finished.
I'm finished.
Okay, I neglected to say in my LCAC report, and Linda will want to know this, there is no LCAC meeting in July, as there never is, but I neglected to say that when you asked for our meeting information, Linda.
Thank you, Beth.
So that will wrap up number 8, and we'll move on to number 9, matters initiated, announcements by the directors, and I'll just go through everyone again. Director Wilson, do you have anything?
No, I do not.
Director Pierpont?
No, I do not.
Director First?
No.
Director Faltings?
I have one thing I'd like to ask. Earlier there was a discussion about talking about what's going to happen to the Ravenswood/history program. And it was remanded, if you will, to, I believe, the program committee?
Yes.
Yes.
I would ask that Connie Naylor, who is the president, the current president of the Ravenswood Progress League, be invited to that.
Okay.
Thanks.
So I don't have anything, so we'll move on to number 10, matters initiated, announcements by the general manager.
You're muted.
I get tired.
That's the most popular saying right now. You're muted.
And I'm staying that way. So last Friday, we tried out our test group with the sprinkler in the park program.
Yes.
We had a group of, Stacy Kennison did a great job of bringing together people who knew each other and were comfortable being a test group for us. And about 15 or 16 kids came to Almond Park, which was perfect because it had both Rotary and the more gentle sprinklers that were static. I'm sorry?
Which park?
Almond Park.
Almond, okay.
Yes. And the comments from the parents and a lot of brainstorming. So we told them we wanted survey information and we wanted feedback. And we got a lot of good information and we're still gathering that information. It's clear to me that there's going to be a demand if pools don't open. There's going to be a demand for the above ground option. It was interesting to see the play evolve. It went from kids socially distancing and just running through the sprinklers to turning the sprinklers on their siblings or, you know, controlling the sprinklers a little bit. Typical things you would see kids doing. We had some adults participate by running through the sprinklers. They all commented how needed it was just for their children individually to be doing something like this, that they hadn't been out in 2 months and they hadn't seen their friends. And it was slightly emotional, I will tell you that much, for some of the kids and some of the parents. All manner of play. Some kids were timid, some were on it. And we saw that evolve a little bit as well. So we will continue to gather information and develop that program out and make sure that we can do it in a manner that is safe and consistent with best practices if we do it. But before we launch it formally, we will likely have a discussion either at committee level or at the board level, since we didn't put it on the agenda here today. But I wanted to let you know that. And then Lastly, I just wanted to say, and you saw it in my presentation that flamed out at the end today, but I'll be working on that. I'll do good. Staff has been working incredibly hard. You board members have also been working incredibly hard. It's been taxing on everyone to try to keep up with this, with the changes and with the different meetings and just trying to stay, what's the word, diligent. That's difficult because it's a pace we haven't had to carry before. So I just want to acknowledge all the hard work that staff has put in and you as a board have put in to get us where we're at. And, you know, hopefully it gives you all positive and powerful feelings that we'll be able to get through this all fairly well. And that's my report.
Thank you, Matt. Can I ask that the sprinkler subject come up? I know we have a meeting coming up really soon, a program committee meeting. Is that the one that's Thursday? Or is that personnel? The one David and I believe. It's coming up soon. So hopefully we can get that on the agenda.
I will invite Stacy Kennison to tell us if she has a timeline.
Yeah, I'd like the whole board to hear.
Well, let it go to program first. It's not currently on the agenda, but Linda, if you could put it on the agenda.
Yes, I could add that to the program agenda.
Thank you.
We have any more comments?
Not from the general manager.
Okay, I think that does it, and we will adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
Hey, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a good day, everyone.
Thanks for your help.